Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing podcast. Our goal with these podcasts is always to bring you something unique and different, something of great value, whether it's directly pertaining to marketing or branding, or something that's going to make it so that you can free up time to spend more time doing what you should do, which is to work on growing your business. Now, this is the second time we've had somebody from AdvisorStream on our podcast. The first time was Brian Muir. That was a long time ago. And we've continued to build relationships with AdvisorStream because really what they offer is unique and different. And that, of course, is the onus of the podcast. Kareem Rashwan, CFP, Director of Product Management, is our guest today. Kareem, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Matt. Happy to be here.
Good. Well, you and I were chatting at the SEI Top Producer Conference a couple of weeks ago and had realized that there was a lot of new stuff you guys had made some changes to the product since the last time we had Brian on the show. And so I'm really excited to dive right in. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to dive into these questions. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So in the digital age, social media is still terrifying for some financial services professionals. And, you know, I still think that there is a few out there who think that it's just a passing fad, which you and I both know it's been, well, I don't know, 20 years since MySpace. Right. So but why is social media so important for financial advisors?
Well, I mean, social media has been a very sexy way to kind of get your name and your brand out there. It's very important for advisors to have a digital footprint, and social media helps establish that. Of course, between LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter, you can reach a wide amount of people, a wide variety of people, whether it's in your network or, of course, an extended network from there. So it's very important for your brand. It's very important for reach and communication. And we find that social media is just a great way to stay top of mind and stay current. So that's why it's important. It's important for all financial advisors to be active on social media.
Now, with that, just to remind everybody who hasn't heard this statistic in the past, you know, one out of every 8 minutes spent online is spent on Facebook. So if you don't exist there, you really don't exist at all. Now, you have a client engagement automation tool. That's one of the major kind of cornerstones, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to challenge you on this because I know that you can automate client engagement, but should all of your client engagement be automated?
What we suggest generally is, and actually let me just say as a short answer, I don't believe all client communication should be automated. I do believe that advisors should still maintain some control over what they're sharing with their network and the engagement that they expect. But I do believe that the vast majority of client communication should be automated. And yes, our platform does allow for full automation, mm-hmm. where advisors can basically never log in, never touch the platform, and still be very active communicating with their clients. But I do believe that every now and then it's important for advisors to manually go in and select content that they would like to share with their clients and manually post articles to social media, manually communicate via email. But generally speaking, I would say 90%, 95% of your communication should be automated so that you can focus on other areas in your practice and let the automation of our platform or any communication tool do the rest for you, be your marketing department essentially.
Now, we are both digital marketing providers. We do it differently than you do because we do it with the podcast as our foundation, and we create social media posts off of the foundation of the podcast. When an advisor is thinking about hiring a digital marketing service, mm-hmm. in your experience, what questions should they ask? And two, really, what should they be looking for?
I believe that, you know, when an advisor is looking at any kind of digital marketing service, the first thing that should be considered is what's the content that is being shared. So in other words, is the content current? Is it relevant? Is it timely? Is it something that's, top of mind in the media? So that to me is the very first thing that an advisor should consider, because without that, the channels that, you know, the content is being shared through I don't want to say almost become irrelevant, but certainly become diminished. And then, you know, beyond the content itself, it does become whether or not there's an omni-channel approach. So in other words, can the content be shared to social media? Can it be delivered via one-to-one communication via email? Can you create a news update? All of those things should be considered. And then, of course, cost is another factor, and scalability. So, you know, with digital marketing, scalability, of course, is very important. It's something that, you know, in the past would have been difficult if you're doing direct mailers, physical print ads. But with digital marketing, scalability is something definitely an advisor should consider.
Outside of scalability, what other strategies do you suggest financial advisors should use to market in the 21st century?
Well, I would say, again, just omni-channel communication. So again, that, you know, when you're looking at what would be successful on social media as engagement could be very different than what is, I'd say, successful versus one-on-one communication. So, you know, if you're targeting communication via email, of course, that's a very specific target to maybe one or a small group of clients. Social media, you know, people tend to just scroll through social media. So what is going to grab their attention the most? So, you know, those are things to consider when you're looking at again, the omni-channel delivery, but also the type of content. The content itself, it needs to be, I think, have a variety of content where you can, again, post to social media, which is going to be different than sharing one-on-one communication or building a newsletter or an update. So that to me is something to consider in addition to scalability, right?
Okay.
So that's, yeah.
Content marketing is key. Now, every time you open up a financial planning magazine, Investment News, RIA Biz, anytime you're on LinkedIn, you're going to see that content is king.
Absolutely.
How, why? I mean, let's break it down to the foundation here, Kareem. Why is that so important?
I'd say in one word, credibility. So, you know, if you're sharing as an advisor, if you're sharing relevant, credible, timely content, and, you know, and I'll back that up by saying timely now is what we found is 3 days or older is no longer timely. So anything within sort of the last 2 to 3 days is still considered quite timely. And that's a bit of a stretch even. But it's credibility. When an advisor positions themselves as a thought leader by sharing content from credible third-party publishers, such as, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, Bloomberg, Forbes, Reuters, these are all obviously very highly regarded publications. And when an advisor shares content from, you know, as an example, from those publishers, the advisor is positioned as a thought leader without actually having any kind of direct sales approach, which again is very important. So we've always thought that, I mean, this is the foundation of our platform, is that without credible third-party content being shared, the advisors, I think, will have a difficult time positioning themselves as a thought leader.
It's also really difficult for them to come up with stuff, right? I mean, advisors will say to us all the time when we talk about the frequency of posting that you're supposed to maintain, advisors like, man, I can't come up with that amount of content. And you're right. It's very difficult to come up with that level of content. And if you're providing stuff that really shows that you're listening and paying attention, which I believe that's one of the key components of Advisor Stream, is it really does show that you're listening to what the general public is talking about in financial services, but it doesn't always have to be financial services stuff, which leads me to the next question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that content marketing is going to change within the next 10 years? Or really, what do you see? I mean, because you guys are a very forward-thinking company, and I love some of your strategic ideas. But when it comes to, you know, where do you go next? What do you guys see is going to happen within the next 10 years?
Well, so what I would see is changing, or mostly evolving. I would say evolving more so than changing, is that, and we've been preaching this for quite a long time, is advisors writing their own content. Now, again, as you mentioned, this is something that is sometimes difficult, obviously, for time, for just coming up with topics. But advisors writing their own content and positioning their content next to credible third-party content. We do have a number of advisors who actually use the platform for that, but I see that, and we see that as an organization, evolving into advisor content positioned next to third-party credible content. That, to me, I think is going to be where the next sort of evolution of digital content marketing is going. And whether it's their own written content, firm content, if it's content from a broker-dealer network that an advisor is part of, or ghostwritten content, another way for advisors to really position themselves as a thought leader alongside credible third-party publishers.
Let's go backwards looking now.
Okay.
When we were prepping for the podcast, you said that you've been doing this for how long?
Me personally? Or
yeah, you.
Me, yeah. Well, I've been in financial services for 20 years plus.
Okay.
So I actually started as an advisor when digital content marketing was pretty much non-existent.
Right.
And, traditional marketing was the approach that I always took. And then I actually went on to manage a financial planning software, which, I got to work with advisors, and that was about 10 years of working directly with advisors in their practices. I've been involved with AdvisorStream and the director of product for just under a year.
Okay.
So what I've seen over the 20 years, of course, is a rapid evolution of how advisors market themselves and also where their focus is. Traditionally, the focus has always been on, direct sales and being a thought leader with respect to product. The evolution that we've seen is that now you're a thought leader with respect to content, and that's mm-hmm. really the biggest change.
Hmm. Yeah, it's unbelievable. So I've been in, probably 10 years just in financial services, and what has transpired since, I started in 06, so that'd be 13 years. Wow, it's just unbelievable. I used to do a presentation on communication, and people can talk at, over, around, through, or with, and those are the mm-hmm. fine ways that people communicate. And it used to be that you would just talk at people, right? It was just email blast, one way communication, presentations where you're standing up in front of the room. And now we really want to be talking with people. We want it to be an engaging content, and in fact, we want to promote engagement, which leads us to another question here. What happens? How do you guys view engagement, and how do we get around that when it comes to compliance?
Well, for us, engagement, we keep track of obviously a number of different metrics with respect to engagement, but ultimately, what we view as important engagement and critical engagement for advisors is not just are your clients clicking on articles, or are they viewing, the news updates that are being sent, but are they sharing that content? And that's really where sort of the, level two of engagement, I think if you want to call it that, is very important. Something that's, again, changed over the last number of years is that it becomes, with digital marketing, it's become so much easier for individuals to share content. And for the advisor, that, again, positions themselves as a thought leader, because now their content that they're sharing is being shared once again and through a network of people they don't know, so that their name and their brand is being built up. With respect to compliance, there's two ways you can look at compliance. Number one, the content itself that we curate is all FINRA and SEC compliant, in the sense that we're not suggesting any product within the content that we've curated and that we're delivering to our advisors. So that's kind of the first level of compliance, just from a regulatory standpoint. But for advisors, they're sort of at a individual level, the compliance departments that we've integrated with throughout different broker-dealer networks in North America have allowed us to actually share content that is already pre-approved by compliance departments. And they've actually been instrumental in helping us build our compliance platform. We've worked with the compliance officers and the marketing departments directly to build our compliance platform. So they've had a huge input into what their workflow is with respect to our platform and how the content gets shared, and advisors can stay on side, not only from a FINRA and SEC perspective, but also from within their own compliance departments, because the content itself is already pre-approved to go out for sharing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, every time I go to a conference, and especially the one that you and I were just at, look around the room, and there are, unless they're coloring their hair, the majority of the people who are there are old.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm allowed to say this because I have gray hair, too. You right. don't, by the way. Just the fact that you just said that you've been in the industry for 20 years. You guys have ever seen Kareem. He hasn't aged a day. But anyway, but there are a whole bunch of, 50 plus year olds. How do you tackle the objection when they say that their ideal client isn't online?
Well, and this might sound a little worse than it's meant to, in that we actually do tell them that their clients are online. I mean, they may not know their clients are online, because if they're not doing any kind of digital marketing right now, for lack of a better description, they may not know. So it's sort of, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And the reality is that, you know, even with the average age of an advisor being in the mid-50s, and maybe their client base is a little older, potentially, although a lot work with millennials, they are online. You know, I have family members in their 70s who are very active online, and I can almost guarantee you that their advisors don't know about it. And so, you know, that's sort of the first step in tackling that objection is really just kind of contradicting it, for lack of a better expression. And then, you know, we have a number of different reports that and research that we are able to show advisors that do actually confirm what we've communicated, which is your clients are online. And if you're not online, kind of like we mentioned earlier, then you almost don't exist. Even if you believe you have a great relationship with your client base or of course are a very successful advisor, the reality is that if you're not online, your investors are, and they may not know you exist.
Gotcha. Tell us, what is the difference between AdvisorStream and other people who exist in your space?
I mean, our biggest competitive advantage and what makes us very unique, one of our core unique value propositions, is that we partner directly with publishers. So we pay them to license their content. So, you know, we work directly with New York Times and Forbes and Bloomberg and Fortune to license their content. We ingest it fully. And I'll explain what that means in a second. And then we curate it, and now it becomes content that can be shared by advisors. So when I say we ingest the content fully, it means that we strip out all the noise, no paywalls, no advertising, no competing advertising. We don't link out to a third-party publisher website, where if you, as an advisor, say, were to go to any publisher's website, you might get hit with a paywall. So they're, you know, if they're sharing this content with their clients are going to get asked for a credit card. They may see competing advertising from everybody except the advisor, which is not great. So the only brand that won't be there is the advisor's brand. So by being able to fully ingest the content, we actually are able to co-brand the advisor with the publisher, all on a clean, controlled landing page that is unique for the advisor. So it's just the advisor's profile and their brand next to the publisher's brand with the article and no noise. It allows us to do a number of other things like capture leads. If you know, content is being shared and an individual chooses to opt in to continue receiving communications, because we're keeping everything in our ecosystem and not just linking people out. That is the single biggest competitive difference, the single biggest unique value proposition that differentiates us from many other competitors out there in this space.
I'm going to reiterate just two little pieces that you said there, because this is one of the reasons why I think what you guys do is so unique and different. It really does show that you're paying attention to what's going on. So if you want to share something, if you read the New York Times, and AdvisorStream has a whole list of these publications that they have bypassed that firewall. It drives me crazy when an advisor will share something on social media, and then when I click on it, I can't see the whole darn article.
Exactly.
Right? Or, Kareem, and I loved when you said this, my competitor, so if I'm an advisor, there isn't a Morgan Stanley ad or a Raymond James ad, you know, right on the page, or a Pack Life product ad that you when you say that you strip it out, when you digest?
Ingest.
There you go. So when you ingest it, you are just really pulling out what's meaningful and allows me to brand it. Everybody, man, if you're finally moving into content marketing and you want to start somewhere, I think AdvisorStream is your first step. We're kind of step two or three down the road, because, you know, we're going to help you create your own custom content. But just to get your toe in the water and really start feeling the power of content marketing, I really do believe AdvisorStream is definitely the way to go. Last question is, why do you all believe, because now we've been talking about social, I mean, that's been the majority of our conversation, but what do you think about email? Is that still a viable way to communicate for advisors into market?
Well, interestingly, email is actually far more effective than social media in terms of digital marketing. And that's not just me saying this. LinkedIn, of course, the social media behemoth, commissioned a research study where they discovered that email marketing in terms of ROI is 40 to 1.
Wow.
Compared to social media. So your marketing dollars take you, you know, 40 times further, essentially, when you do direct email marketing versus social media. It doesn't mean don't be active on social media. Again, I kind of refer back to omnichannel communication. But in terms of actual ROI effectiveness, targeted email communication is still more effective than social media. And it comes down to, you know, I think everybody knows that when you're on social media, again, you're doing a lot more sort of quick scrolling. Whereas if you're receiving a targeted communication from an advisor that is directed to you, you're more engaged. Just naturally, you're more engaged. And you're more inclined to share it if it's something that you feel is appropriate to share with some people in your own network. So, you know, whether it's a single article communication, we curate news updates every week, or advisors can go in and build their own news updates through a newsletter, that's still an email communication. And we find that the engagement, you know, just from our own metrics, the engagement on those avenues and those communication channels are far more engaging, far more, we see the metrics, the engagement metrics are that much higher. And oftentimes three times, four times what the industry average is, to be honest.
And when you're posting stuff that you know that your clients want to read, right? Yeah. I think that's the super fun part is, you know, I've had advisors who say to me, well, you know, Matt, I don't get a lot of it. You know, my clients who are opening up the email, and I'm like, well, you know what? There's a reason for that, because what you're sharing, they just don't freaking care. Right.
Exactly.
You know, they don't care about a play by play for what's going on in the markets. What they really want to do is valuable information that's going to help them, you know, live their retirement more successfully, save more appropriately, you know, make lifestyle changes, and just kind of keep their finger on the pulse of what's going on. So now we ask everybody, Kareem, who comes on the show, if there's anything that you can give away in order to add even more value than you've already given. And for those of you who are maybe just driving and you know, kind of half listening to what's going on, please go back and listen to everything again. Go back and listen to the first Advisor Stream podcast with Brian Muir, and then listen to every other podcast that we've done, just because it's going to support and it's leading you directly to somebody like Advisor Stream. So what sort of free stuff would you give our listenership so that they can maybe see what you're like?
Yeah, well, so we offer free trials to anyone who wants to try our service. Generally speaking, it's about a 30-day free trial. What this allows you to do, and you know, one thing, even with the free trial period, we do actually onboard everyone and make sure that they're set up correctly. So get their contacts in correctly, get their profile and branding set up correctly. We have an amazing customer success team that walks every new subscriber and trial through the whole process of getting set up.
Mm-hmm.
Try it for 30 days, see what the results are, see how you're engaged. And then from there, actually, should you choose to subscribe, we actually, our customer success team does a strategy session 3 months down the road to make sure you're using the reporting and understanding the reporting correctly. So, you know, that's really, I think, the best way to just kind of dive into the platform is try it, start communicating with clients immediately. There's no reason to delay on that. Once you're set up, you can start using the platform to its fullest extent right away from day one. So that's what we always encourage anyone who wants to try it to do.
Well, Kareem, thank you very, very much for that offer. And thank you for your thought leadership today. Any final thoughts?
No, I thank you very much for having me. I'm glad we got to talk about this again. We think it's a very important part of building an advisor's business, and really appreciate you having me on the air.
Wonderful. Well, it has absolutely been our pleasure. If you need or want to reach out, please double check in there at advisorstream.com online. And then also their direct line is 877-761-7036. And we'll make sure that's in the show notes. That way, if you do have any questions, you can reach out to one of the team members at Advisor Stream. And you know what the heck? Just try out the free trial, man. I mean, it's free. What's the worst thing that can happen? I'm personally a big fan of free. So, all right. So, Kareem, thank you very much for today.
Thank you so much.
And for everybody at Advisor Stream and everybody that we're with here at Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Halloran. If you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you do. But more importantly, since you are listening to the podcast, and if you do know somebody who has not embraced content marketing yet, click that share button and directly share this link to this podcast with your other advisors who you know really need to take advantage of something to proactively communicate with their clients, to make sure that they're controlling the content that's going to the clients and making it show that you're really listening to what your clients want. So with that, we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.